Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. I'm your host, Kim Cockerham, a member of the Let's Trust team, and I just thank you for being here today and joined together to say your health is important. Becoming healthy is the best decision you will ever make. It is worth it. You are so worth it. So whether you're just venturing down this road for the first time or you've been at this thing called healthy living for a long time, welcome. We're here to support each other, learn from each other, celebrate accomplishments, and sometimes hold each other accountable. So we're going to get moving. Brittany's working with me today. I'm so excited she is because she had moved to Missouri a couple weeks ago. I was so grateful to have the time to spend with her at the CMC. So it's fun to be working. So press one if you have a question or something to share, and I hope you will, especially those of you guys that were at the CMC, okay? So so I had a great quote here that I read, and it said, if we don't create change, change will create you. And I thought that was so cool. Let me see. I'm going to have Kevin's going to be joining us today, so I'm going to have Brittany go out and grab him so we can get going here. Because this is going to be exciting. So, and if I'm a little winded here, I just ran up three flights of steps, you guys. So, glad you're here. So, this is kind of most true when we talk about change when we think of our health. Because whether it's a fact of aging or illness or injury, life situations, job, et cetera. And again, we're not just talking weight when I say health, because so many times, when we think I'm going to get healthy, we think about weight. But we're talking about the whole person here. That's what this show's about. It's not just about that. We're talking about your ability to manage stress, your sleep, your fitness level, how you feel, the quality of life that you have, that whole person. So when you say I'm going to get healthy, think of that, okay? Again, weight's easy because it's easy to measure, but we're going to talk about the whole person. So last year at the CMC, we talked, and it was so cool. I had to leave early, and Lisa and Kevin gave me the opportunity to get up on stage to talk a little bit about where we're going, where Let's Truck is going as far as health, because we had talked about we wanted to do it, weren't quite sure what it looked like. We actually got on stage to say that, join us on this. We're not sure where the road's going to lead us, but we're committed to that, this part of our life. And I'll tell you what, we have made such strides, and I'm so, so grateful. Again, Lisa, Kevin, and Aaron said that this is important, and we are going to put time to this, we're going to put energy to it, and look where we've come. I mean, just the strides that we've made with this just since, like, October, November, being able to start this show. Kevin, the research he's been doing has just been phenomenal and coming on, sharing with us, and we're all learning so much together, and that's what's so cool, because there's just all, again, we say individuals as far as health is concerned, and we have so much to share. So I'll tell you, this year at the CMC, so for you guys that were at the CMC, I just, again, press one and share, even stuff you've been doing this first part of the year. I know Matt, Melissa, Rick, Becky, there's so many people just doing so much, and it was so obvious. There was an energy about the CMC, and again, I think about, about this health part of it, that you could just feel. I mean, people talked about it. It was, very apparent because of so many strides people have been doing, but, we got some healthy snacks going. It was people asking questions, and you had this collectiveness that, again, we're in this together, and we're going to keep moving forward and learn from each other and share what's working and supporting each other. So I'm going to go out here and grab Kevin. He's joining us from Iowa, and here we go. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey there. Good. It's pouring down rain, but we spent all day at the MAC Center, as they call it, the Mid-America Center, which is the site of the 2016 CMC, so it's pretty exciting.
Oh, wow. I cannot wait to hear about it. So Kevin, you know, I was hearing a little bit about, you know, CMC this year, and again, I was thinking back to last year when we got to go to stage because we really didn't have an idea of what we wanted to do with this so important topic of health. But we said we want to do something, and you know, just wait and see what we do, and we did, and thankful to you and Lisa and Aaron that this has happened. And Ben, like I said, this year at CMC, what was your impression? What was your feeling about where we've come?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Over the years, we always try to push into new territory, get people thinking about new things. And, you know, I can think of all this stuff. When I started on the radio itself, before I even had my own show, about 90% of what I talked about was taxes. I mean, that's kind of what I was known for in the beginning. Then we started to work on fuel mileage. And back then, you know, there just weren't that many people who tracked their fuel mileage, knew how, were that interested in it. And now, I mean, it's huge. We talk about it all the time. Then, you know, we started talking a little bit about maintenance, and then we introduced oil analysis, and then we introduced fuel tax and all these topics over the years. And many times when we dive into a new area, you know, it's kind of a lukewarm reception. You know, people don't really ask about it. I have to bring it up, do a lot of opens. Every now and then we'll hit a topic that people really get interested in quickly, but usually not. And, you know, I was really surprised this year at the CMC. I didn't really have any health stuff planned, but people were asking questions about it because they know that I've been doing it. I've been on your show a couple times. And so, you know, the one time when I had just free time because we had 45 minutes to lunch, the questions about health were just, it was the most questions I got asked the whole week, and we had to just stop so we could get to lunch. So
yeah.
People are very interested in it. It's one of those topics that polarizes the audience, though. There are some people that just absolutely shut down. They don't want to hear it. And the other people can't get enough. And to me, that always tells me we're on a topic that we have to stay on. And if people don't want to hear it, then that's their choice. But it's not one of those topics that you get a whole lot of middle ground. People are either very excited or they just don't want to hear it at all.
And I've heard you talk about that recently on the show, too, and then hearing you say that again in relationship to the health, you know, like at the CMC or when we start talking about it, that is so true. Why do you think, and I guess I'm going on the other side, the people that don't want to hear about it?
I think the majority of them, you know, there could be some that just aren't interested for whatever reason, but I think the number one reason, if we were to get people to be really honest, and I have had some feedback from people that I just think they're uncomfortable. It's like if I talk about financial planning and retirement, I'll get the same thing. Some people just don't want to hear it because it makes them uncomfortable. They absolutely know it's important. They know they should be doing something. And if they're not, they don't like to be reminded about it. And I think health is even more to the core. As important as retirement is, if you don't have a retirement account and do nothing, you know, you just keep working. That's a big deal. I mean, really.
Right.
But if you ignore your health, it is a big deal. You'll die, and you'll die a slow, painful death. So I can't think of anything more personal that people would get uncomfortable about, and I really think that's what the issue is.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And, you know, and it's a timing thing, I think, with health, too. I mean, they'll hear it. I think we're planting seeds, you know, and what I loved about the positive side of that, like you said, the people that just were so interested in that is that there's just such a power in numbers, again, and feeling like we're not alone in this journey. And I think it's just exciting what we're doing going forward. And we're going to have one big healthy group next year, you know?
Well, I think so. And you know, one of the things that I've been excited and even a little surprised about is, you know, what I've done health-wise, most people would consider it to be very drastic. Now that I've done it and I've been doing it for, I guess I'm coming up on about 4 months now, I don't find it drastic at all. I don't find it difficult. I can't imagine going back to eating the way I used to. But even though it's drastic, a lot of people are trying it. In fact, I understand.
Yeah.
Brittany has some headaches this week.
Yeah.
And I know people are trying it because they call me and say, are these symptoms normal? And they describe exactly what you go through when you go grain-free. And I know they're doing it and they're experiencing the symptoms and they're not pleasant. And I tell people that all the time. And all the research says it's not that far off from quitting opiates. And your body goes through withdrawals and there are headaches and cravings and you get moody and you don't have any energy. But people are doing it. And the ones who push through, I just can't say enough. And honestly, the results 2 months ago, I said they were amazing. They just keep getting better.
That is so cool. Kevin, what drew you to the because I know you were doing lots of research on a lot of different things. What was it that really drew you to this one? What really spoke to you from all that you read? What made you zero in on? Was it the Wheat Belly one that was the first one or the Grain Brain? Which book was your first book that you read?
You know, I was following it, and I still do. I used to say there was only one newsletter that I read every single day, and that was Seth Godin. But
right,
now there's two.
Yeah.
And there's still only two, though. Seth Godin, I still read every day, and Dr. Mercola. I read his every day. And he started me down the grain-free. I really started thinking about it because I respected his research and how he approached things, and I started to cut back on the grain. But then I read Wheat Belly, and I was listening to it on the road, and I stopped that. I listened to it almost straight through, and it's a long book. I spent a long day on the road listening. And that night, I stopped, and I got rid of everything in the RV that had any kind of grain in it. I said, I'm done. I go cold turkey. I'm not eating this stuff again. And then I started listening to Grain Brain and thought, boy, am I glad I did that.
Is that right? Yeah. What is the difference? What is, you know, we talk about stay off carbs and everything, but what is with the grains of today that is messing us up?
Well, you know, there's so many factors here, and I try to find ways to explain it without confusing people. So let's just answer that question. The grains of today are worse because they've been hybridized, and they're not technically genetically modified. Corn is, and soy is. So those are, I call them frankenfoods. They're not even food anymore.
Yeah.
But the grains have been hybridized in order, and when they hybridize, they just crossbreed. So we're not genetically modifying the organism, but we are crossbreeding. And they're not crossbreeding to make the grain healthier for us. That's not what they're doing. They're crossbreeding simply for profit. They want it to grow faster. They want it to produce more. They want it to be more resistant to bugs. And the problem is, one of the problems, I mean, I could go on and on, but one of the ways you make any plant more resistant to bugs is you increase the toxin level, because that's what stops things from eating a plant is they're toxic. And grains are already toxic to most organisms. That's their defense against being eaten. But in order to make them more resistant to bugs, they hybridize them to increase the toxin level in them. So they become more unhealthy for us, right? So even if we could go back to all the original grains, we're still not supposed to eat those things. They have tons of proteins in them that our body doesn't know what to do with. It's not food, and our body looks at it as an invader. So those proteins aren't supposed to be there, and our body releases, you know, antibodies and our inflammatory response goes up, and literally our body attacks those proteins. And that's the number one problem with grains. Now, everybody's heard of gluten, and, you know, they try to go gluten-free. Well, gluten is only one of dozens or hundreds of proteins that are in grains. And gluten is just the worst of the bunch, but there's all kinds of them. And that's the biggest reason we're not supposed to eat them. Then when we hybridized them, we just kept making that problem worse and worse. And then the second problem with grains is they are just very high glycemic. They're pure starch, and our body converts them to sugar. And that's the second problem. And, you know, we all know about diabetes, but there's the condition before diabetes that it creates all kinds of havoc in our body. You don't have to have diabetes to have the response, the spike in blood sugar, the drop in blood sugar, and then the chain of events that kicks off. And then, you know, if we look at the next problem, if that wasn't enough, the next problem is because we've turned our diet into 60% grain, that's just 60% of good food we're not eating anymore.
That's a really good point.
You can only eat so much in a day, and if you're eating 60% of your diet in something that really isn't food to our body, we can't digest it, that's just 60% of food that we're not eating that would be so much better for us. And that's probably the biggest change I've seen. Since I'm not eating grains, my God, I eat so much healthy stuff now, big salads, lots of fruit and vegetables, more nuts, more good meat, more good eggs. Berries, and I look at what I'm eating all day, and I think, I'm getting so much nutrition now that I was never getting before because I was eating so much of that food that was just doing nothing.
Yeah. You know what, and that's a really good way to look at it. I love that. It's like what it kept you from eating, and now you're just so full of it. I think that's what might have caused the rush on the salad bar one day, wasn't it?
That was the day when we had the free-for-all, and you know, I decided to tell everybody, you know, people ask me, what do you eat on the buffet? And, you know, honestly, this is such a surprise to me that we've been going to Harrah's for 6 years now. Prior to that, we went to the Ameristar. They had a buffet. And honestly, it was like every year, before I was grain-free, the buffet, every year I was dreading it. It's like all this food, and I couldn't find anything I was really excited about eating. And this year, I loved the buffet. I mean, I was making these huge salads, and every year before that, I would just skip the salad bar because there was always something else to eat. And I love salad, especially when, you know, all the ingredients are prepared for me, and all I have to do is walk around and make a big plate. So I'd eat a big salad. Then I'd go back for some of the protein, some barbecue. They always had, you know, sliced roast beef or turkey. They had some great steamed vegetables. And I would literally eat two giant plates of food. And that's the other thing. I you know, I eat as much as I want, and I'm not gaining any weight other than the muscle weight that I've been gaining because I've been working out twice a week.
Yeah, and you know what? This was the first year, and you probably felt a ton better at the end of the week than any other, CMC there.
It's not even close. I mean, every year at CMC, I would be sick by the end of the week. I would be tired. I would be dragging myself out the last couple of days. And, you know, we finished up the event on Friday. We did the one-on-ones for the fuel mileage makeovers. All day Saturday I did those. I did a couple on Sunday. And I literally said, you know what? I could go another week. I didn't feel like it was hard at all.
You know what, and I'll tell you, Kevin, and this is what I hope some of the drivers will compare it to, is that when we were at the CMC, it was a very controlled environment for me then with the buffet. Even though you would think it's a buffet, oh, my gosh, you know, it's a free-for-all. To me, it was a very controlled environment because I went through and I knew exactly what I wanted to eat as far as the salad bar, and, you know, they have some great eggs in the morning. And, I mean, I went for some of the sausage. I know it's processed at home. I would do it, you know, have some meat that weren't processed. But there, it was okay. And so that's the kind of give and take you have to do. I've struggled since I've been home. I mean, I've got to clear things out again here. So I'm hoping that some of our fabulous drivers will take that same lesson, like from the buffet, and see what they can eat and take it to their, you know, to their cabs and stuff, and control what they bring in, and learn what they have that'll just, you know, feed them throughout the week that's along this path. But yeah, that buffet was fabulous for eating grain free.
It really was, because it gave you so many options and they were right there. They were easy. The best advice I could give to people is not to focus on what you can't eat, but to sit down and and take some time and make a list of the things that, and you know where I would start? I would start with all the things they've been telling us for years are bad for us, and now we know they're not. And, you know, don't feel guilty about eating. I mean, I was eating mounds of eggs in the morning. I mean, probably, not exaggerating, I bet I was eating the equivalent of 6 or 7 eggs every morning at the buffet and loving it. And, you know, I don't want to overdo the meat thing, but I don't feel guilty anymore. You know, if I want to eat meat, I eat meat. And, you know, good fats, the butters, the avocados, you know, and they always told us, watch the fat. We don't have to watch the fat. Fat is good for us. We need it. So I tell people, make a list of the stuff you just love, the food that you get excited about, and make sure you've always got it around. And that way you're not going to be tempted and you're not going to be hungry. And don't count calories. If you make a list of the food you're supposed to eat, don't worry about the fat. Don't worry about the calories. Eat what you want to eat. Just stay away from the stuff that's bad for us and eat as much as you want of the good stuff.
You know what, I love that. I think we're gonna remind people of that each week, because that is so true. Because as soon as you start thinking about, oh, I've got to, you know, I was going to talk a little bit about change, because I love how you ended the CMC about change. When we think that we're going to, okay, I got to reel in this and, you know, get a handle on my health, we instantly go to that, what do I need to give up? And I really want to each week focus on, and I would love for people to come and share then what they found to add that's good. And let's just focus on that, because that is, oh, my gosh, there's 10 times more of the good stuff. And I had one of the drivers was sharing on another show I was listening to that one of the benefits about being on the road was the amount of farmers markets they could hit all over the place. And you know, just think about all that wonderful food you can add. So Kevin, what was
The other thing I've found is that I've always wanted to eat healthier. And, you know, I never really ate horrible. Well, now I guess looking back, I did eat horrible. I just didn't know it. I thought I was eating healthier. But when I would shop, I would get a lot of fruit. I knew fruit's good for you. I would buy berries all the time. I might buy really good yogurt. And I can't, or produce of any kind. And when I'm in the store, I would swear I'm going to make, you know, steamed broccoli, and I'm going to do some Brussels sprouts, and I'm going to do a berry salad. Or I'd have all these ideas, and I can't tell you how much produce I have thrown away over the years.
I
would fall back to the old habits of pasta and make a sandwich because it's easy, or eat some rice because it's easy. And before I know it, the berries would go bad, the produce would go bad, I'd throw it out, I'd go to the grocery store, do it again. Now, none of that stuff ever gets thrown out. I should start buying berries by the caseload how many have I eat them. I finish them. I don't throw anything away like that anymore. And the other
why do you think that is, Kevin? Why is that? What was the switch?
The other food isn't available anymore. Instead of being able to just make a sandwich because it's easy, or, you know, microwave some pasta dish because it's easy, it's not there. I don't eat that anymore. So the berries are there, I eat them. The nuts are there, I eat them. The avocados are there, I eat one or two every day. Produce, I make huge salads, so I'm not throwing away as much produce. But even if the produce gets a day or two old, and I juice it. I don't ever throw away produce. If it's getting a little old, I just throw it in the juicer and I juice it. And my vegetable consumption is probably quadrupled at least.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I love that. I love it. So you know what I want to do real quick, Kevin, is that we have some great callers that are calling in, and there's one in particular, and I love this because, again, this goes back to the community that we have here. Drew is on his 30-minute break here, and he wanted to pop in and throw in a challenge. Drew is at the CMC, so I want to pop over real quick to grab him before his 30 minutes are up so we can chat some with him and then talk some more about this good stuff. So, hey, Drew, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in Flagstaff, and it's pouring rain.
Kevin's just talking about he's in a bunch of rain. I'm sorry. I got the shades on. I got the sun going on here in Ohio, which is unusual.
I just left there. I tell you what, if you're in Iowa and it's raining, or if you're anywhere in your part, I told you at the CMC I would call and give everyone a push-up challenge, you know, and I'm one of those people that wants to be healthier. I don't want to be a fat truck driver, and I quit eating all grains.
Did you?
Since Saturday. Since I left the CMC.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. And my breakfast has been pretty weird. Sardines, avocados, two apricots, and I've been keeping the fruit down. But so you want to do some push-ups?
Oh my gosh! Right now, that's true. I told you.
It's raining, and I got gloves on. I got Lysol wipes, so I can. You know what I mean?
Can
you still hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Kevin, where are you at? He's doing a push-up challenge here.
It's raining really hard here.
Okay, Drew, give it to us.
All right. Okay, ready? One.
What are we doing? Okay.
Two. Three. Four. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know if I could do 10. It's been a while since I did push-ups.
Well,
that's
you got to start somewhere, right?
What's that?
You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, I got to start somewhere.
So, Drew, I just did 10 girl push-ups. I always wanted to do a regular push-up. I always pictured us at CMT maybe having a push-up challenge on the stage or something there. But push-ups and a pull-up, that's my thing that I want to put on my bucket list. Okay. Well, that's awesome, Drew.
Wow, that wasn't so bad.
Good.
I can
That's
do 10 push-ups.
Well, do you have any questions for Kevin as far as if you started grain-free on Saturday?
Of course, I have all kinds of questions. I've been listening on the show. I mean, I would highly recommend if you're leasing a truck or thinking about it, not to. And... I think the favorite thing I saw in the magazine, the truck paper today, was a Mack truck, a 2001 Mack truck. It was an E7. I'm still focused on getting a pre-emissions truck. But this is that's a different show.
That's a different show.
Yeah. Well, let me bring it around to the health and the no gray thing. And this is one of the benefits that's hard to describe, but my thinking has changed pretty dramatically. I used to be like a lot of people, swore I
Thank
had
you.
ADD, couldn't think clear, always getting distracted, hard to focus on one thing, tougher to make decisions. And the longer I go grain-free, the more my mind tends to calm down. And I'm able to think clearer and slow down my thinking. And it's almost like relearning how to think, because my brain is functioning differently, but in a very good way.
So I would like to get up to where I could run. And I don't mean running across the street because the building's on fire. I mean going for a run.
Yeah, we'll start with a walk. Start with walking, increase it, and then get some intervals going.
Yeah.
That's how I started. After I had lost 50 pounds, I had started going for a walk, and I always loved watching runners. I'd go by a runner on the road, and I'd watch them in the rearview mirrors and thinking, how cool. And I just started, a quarter of a mile walk, a quarter of a mile run. And then pretty soon, your body is an amazing thing, and it will suddenly stretch you farther. If you talk to any long-distance runner or any runner, period, they started with just being able to go around the block and thought they were going to die. But they went out and did it again the next day. So start where you are, okay? And keep going.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much. Thank you for all your hard work, and I appreciate everything through CMC. And I've literally been following the same steps every single day, and I really appreciate that.
Fantastic.
That's great, Drew.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Hey, Kevin, we're going to head to Pennsylvania with John, because it looks like he's been going a little grain-free, too. So, hey, John, how are you?
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Well, that's excellent. First, I want to say, Kevin, I'm very upset with you for mentioning the salad bar at the CMC, because the first couple of days I was able to get lunch pretty easy. So, it was very difficult after you mentioned the salad bar. So I'm very upset with you.
You know, not only that, I think they had to reorder vinegar and oil because they kept running out.
Yes.
That is hilarious.
There was two times it was completely out, and I laughed and just kind of shook my head and said, damn you, Kevin, but good for everybody else for doing it.
Well, yeah,
you know,
hey, John,
that's another thing about the salads when I said, do the things, find the things that you like to do, and I love salads. But I fell into that whole, you got to go low fat, don't put on so much dressing. And I don't like it drowning in dressing, but I like a really good olive oil, and I like a really good Caesar dressing. And you know what? I don't skimp on either one anymore. And if I want to throw three eggs on my salad and an avocado, I do it and, put as much dressing on as I like, and I don't worry about it. So I am really enjoying the salad.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so my question is, if you would be starting moving towards grain-free, I'm a very, very slow mover when it comes to change. I'm not as strong as you, Kevin. I'm not going to be able to just wave my hand and go grain-free. If I needed to just cut one thing out of my life that was a grain, what would be the first thing you would suggest?
Oh, hands down, get rid of the wheat.
Wheat, anything wheat. Okay. I could do that.
Yeah, it's the one that's hurting us the worst. It's also the one that's the biggest part of our diet. But getting rid of the wheat. Now, here's the other challenge for people, and I know this is why a lot of people won't make it through this, is you can work really hard to eliminate 90% of the wheat in your diet, which is really difficult in the beginning, and you won't see that many results. But if you can get through that last 10% and eliminate it completely, the wheat, you know, let's not worry about all the other grains yet. If you can eliminate the wheat 100%, then the benefits come, and they're pretty amazing.
Okay, so you can't even cheat on it once in a while. You just got to eliminate it completely.
Yeah, and, you know, it takes about 2 weeks to get it all out of your system and start feeling the benefit. And then the thing you've got to be careful of is you become kind of hypersensitive to it. And every now and then I'll eat in a restaurant and get something crazy like a salad dressing, and I will guarantee you I can tell when there's a wheat product in what I ate.
Really?
Yeah, I see the symptoms within an hour of eating out, and I know that I got wheat somewhere.
Hmm.
Okay.
Bummer. That bums
me
out.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you don't get so crazy that you start asking servers for, I need to know every single ingredient, but when you're eating out and you get that dose of wheat, you just kind of realize that you have to take a step back from it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's not horrible. I don't want anybody to, you know, really freak out. But you know, you start to get really in tune with how good your body feels. And all that happens when you get the wheat accidentally or intentionally, if you just decide, you know, I'm going to eat a sandwich or whatever, you go back to feeling the way you used to, which we got to thinking is normal. But once you get off of it and you feel good, then when you feel that way again, you realize how bad it really was.
Well, maybe it's not such a bad thing to get a little dose every once in a while.
Oh, no, it reminds you of how good you feel.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I will say on the air today, I am going to make a commitment to go wheat free. In a week, I'll call in and I'll tell you how I've done. I may fail, I may succeed, but at least I'm going to try.
And I will tell you the least problematic of the grains. So if you need to kind of fill in with something, is white rice. Not whole grain,
really?
Don't eat whole grain rice. Eat white rice. That is the least, in fact, doesn't really have any toxins that'll create any funky symptoms. It's just kind of high glycemic. You know, it'll convert to sugar, but that's not a big deal. So when you get off the wheat and you need to fill in with something, white rice is your best bet.
Kevin, I trust you. I really, truly trust you. Because I know that you're a maniac with research, but do you know how bizarre that actually sounds when it's been pounded into us that having whole grain rice is so much better for you? And quite honestly, I love whole grain rice, and I've been eating it for years. And
I do too.
That sounds so bizarre.
Well, once you hear the explanation, you'll say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So again,
okay, lay it on
me. The grains have two problems that, like I said earlier, they can have toxic proteins. Now, rice has very little of those, but all of the toxins in rice are in the shell. It's all in the external part of the rice. That's where all the
fiber that's supposed to be good.
Exactly. So they claim that it doesn't affect your blood sugar as bad, but that's not true. Whether it's brown rice, whole grain rice, white rice, the blood sugar effect is exactly the same. What you do, though, if you get rid of the shell and all the external stuff, you get rid of all the proteins and the toxins, and you've basically just got some rice left that doesn't do anything negative.
Okay. And what about oatmeal? Because I'm, like, totally into steel-cut oatmeal. I love it.
Okay, so oats are one of the least problematic of the grains down there with rice. The issue you'll find is if you want to eat oats, but you're trying to get away from wheat and gluten, which is the worst protein, then I would make sure you go to some place like Whole Foods and get certified gluten-free oats. Now, oats don't have gluten in them, but they're almost always processed in a facility that processes wheat, and they pick up a lot of gluten. But you can find certified gluten-free oats, and that's what I would look for.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I always thought that was
kind
of bizarre because I thought, you know, oatmeal doesn't have gluten.
Well, it does only because of the way it was processed.
Okay, it's not naturally in there. It's kind of stuck in there because of the processing. Okay, you know what? When you explain it like that on both of those fronts, it clicks. The puzzle pieces come together. I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, good luck, John. Let us know next Friday how's it gone, because there is that quite of a change.
I will definitely call in and let you know where I'm at.
And be excited about it. It's a good thing. Be excited.
I'm scared.
That's okay. Do it scared. No.
Okay.
It's good.
Thank
good
you so much.
Okay. See you, John. Kevin, yeah, you were talking, so I was trying to, Bob's Red Mill has a gluten-free oatmeal. That's in a lot of stores.
Yeah.
Those ones that's in a bag, but you can get there. So.
Right. You know, another thing I just, you know, because I keep doing a lot of reading and a lot of research, and something I learned the other day is that quinoa, a grain, it's a seed, but it's one of the seeds that is very grain-like. So if you're doing this slowly, quinoa is another one of the things you could replace, you know, the wheat and some of the other things, your barley and those kind of things. But eventually, most people who go grain-free say they would just get off the quinoa as well because it has some of the same effects.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I was surprised at, because, again, you know, it's so frustrating, I think, for people because, and again, that's where going back to just focusing on what you can have and not so much what we're getting rid of, it gets so confusing out there. And I think we talked about that, you know, when we first started chatting about this, that you throw your hands up in the air and say, you know what, I just don't even know what to eat anymore. But we can keep it, I think with grain-free, it can be back to the very, very simple, you know, like you said, like the salads and what you can eat, what you can, very nutrient-dense foods that will just feed your body instead of drag it down. I think that's one of the biggest things people will experience when they get past that hump, that you might almost have to remind yourself to eat because you're not hungry. Did you experience that?
Yeah, I do. And when you do get hungry, it's a whole different feeling. You feel it more in your throat. That's kind of weird to say, but it's a different feeling. It's not as desperate. It's not like, in fact, most of the time for me now, it's psychological. Right now, I had a small breakfast this morning because we were in the hotel. We skipped lunch completely. We were thinking about getting something to eat, but I had to come on the air. So it's one of those days. I haven't eaten in a long time. I'm saying I'm hungry, but honestly, I don't have any physical symptoms of hunger. It's more that I just want to eat. I want to go get something good and I want to eat. But if I don't, I'm not getting shaky. I'm not getting a headache. I don't have any of those crazy physical, you know, cravings I used to have. It's more of a mental, you know, because we're sitting outside of a Texas Roadhouse while we're doing this, and I'm thinking about a whole slab of ribs, and I'm going to eat the whole thing, and I know it's going to taste really good. If I had to go another 2 or 3 hours, I would be okay physically. It's more of a mental thing now. I just, there's good food there, and I want to eat it.
So we have a lot of people like leave the CMC that really, you know, this spoke to them, and it gives some people hope, too, you know, because it was so obvious there of you, of Matt, of, you know, some other people that are doing this. And what, and again, because you travel on the road to get to there too, and you, how did you stock your RV and tractor to be able to eat this grain-free? What are some things, tips you would give people about that?
You know, the first thing I would say is don't go into it thinking it's going to be difficult. The food is available everywhere. It really is. I mean, there isn't a single restaurant that we've stopped at that I can't find something to eat that I like. Grocery stores are everywhere. Produce departments, you know, today are filled with every kind of produce and fruit and berry you could ever want. Meat is available. You can walk into just about any grocery store today and get a rotisserie chicken. You know, one of my meals that is so easy, no matter where you are on the road, walk into any grocery store, they have a rotisserie chicken, and you can almost always find kimchi or some other fermented vegetable, even like a real pickle. They're becoming much more common. Honestly, I'll eat a whole chicken and, you know, a cup of kimchi or sauerkraut or something like that. It's a great meal. Or a whole chicken if I want and a salad bar. Most grocery stores have a salad bar. They have an olive bar. Olives are great for you. So even convenience food is really easy to find.
Great. Good tip. So let's mention, I'm going to grab Brittany before she goes and picks up another call, because she started this on Monday. And she was, it was so funny, I asked her, because she had both the books that you had. I saw her, she posted on Facebook the books that came in. And so I said, okay, because Kevin, I'll be honest, time-wise, I haven't read the books. I always get the sample on my Kindle so that I'll look at it. But I said, so which one would you recommend first? And I think she said Grain Brain first. Because she said the other one, I think that was the, Brittany, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there we go. So what did you tell me about when I asked you about which book to read first? So we have Grain Brain and Wheat Belly, and you recommended Grain Brain first.
Well, I like the way that David Perlmutter writes better. The William Davis one, I guess he's a little bit more in your face. And I was like, oh, my bagel butt. But I like both of them. I'm about halfway through both of them. But, since I started on Monday, I'll tell you, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I was a wreck. I had the worst headaches. I was so tired. But I knew that going into it, just by reading the first couple pages, they tell you not to start during a busy week or when you have, like, a lot of deadlines or things coming up. So I kind of knew that in mind, and I kept reading and was journaling so I would stay focused. But now, yesterday and today, I've had so much energy, no headaches or cravings or anything like that. So it's been good so far.
That's awesome. And you just went to a Longhorn last night.
That one, I just like, I didn't have any cravings when I was there, and I thought it was going to be bad, because everyone knows how delicious their warm bread and cinnamon butter is. But honestly, when I was there, I was completely fine, and I just planned out beforehand what I would order, so that wasn't a problem at all, and I could be there and enjoy it.
Good for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
but I think the biggest thing... the biggest thing I think for me was planning. So Sunday night, you know, I made a grocery list based off of what was in the cookbooks and the books, and planned out meals for every day. So that way, you know, I wasn't stuck or anything. So planning has been like a lifesaver for me for this week of just starting out on it.
Great.
And that's kind of what I was going to say, when you had a plan going into the restaurant. And, you know, even if you go online, look at their menu, so you're not sitting there with all of the stuff staring at you while you're trying to make up your mind. If you go in knowing what you're going to get, you go in and get it. And like I say, get the good stuff and get as much as you want.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that wasn't a problem at all.
Well, good. I'm so proud of you. So what was, so if people get the book, what's been your, the recipe that you've enjoyed this past week, Britt?
I made, probably my favorite one was the zucchini casserole. And that you could either have, like, as the main dish or as a side dish or something. So we did that with the pork chops that they have in there, and that was really, really good. Everything is super easy to make, too, because, you know, I'm not the chef. but everything's easy because it's so natural, and it's really just combining, like, the natural raw food with different spices. So mostly everything in there people usually already have. And then it's just getting the raw vegetables and meat and stuff like that.
That's great. Well, keep up the great work, sweetie, and can't wait to hear more about it.
All right, awesome.
Okay.
You will.
Okay. We're going to head off to Chicago. We have another CMC-er that's joining us. Jessica, how are you?
I'm fine, Kim. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
So what have you been doing since CMC?
Well, Bonnie posted her video, and she actually has a love-hate relationship with Kevin at this point in time. She was kind of so excited. She said her favorite thing about Kevin throughout the whole entire CMC was when he was talking about all the health stuff. And then we went through the truck and we did a clean out.
Oh, good for you.
And when we did that clean out, she was literally in tears and she said, "I hate Kevin Rutherford."
Uh-oh.
So that's why I said right now she has a love-hate relationship with him. She, you know, right now she's focusing on, I can't have my red velvet cupcakes anymore. And, you know, but then she went on Pinterest and she found a recipe that had beets in it and almond flour and stuff like that. And so she was like, "Mom, can we try this when we get home?" And I was like, "Yes, when we get home, we can definitely try that." But it was kind of like one of those, "Oh, I hate him." And then it was like, "Well, maybe this won't be too bad."
That's awesome.
Yeah,
like you said, Kevin, finding the stuff you can have and you can actually make it fun.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've found that I just love to eat now is I found a really good Greek yogurt. And I found a couple little local brands at different stores that are like super high fat yogurt, like pure fat yogurt. And so thick with, like, zero sugar. So you can eat as much of that as you want. And I know that sounds crazy, but I will eat that with berries. And that is just, for a dessert kind of thing, any berries with some of that yogurt. Here's another thing I found, and people are going to think this is crazy, but I like nut butters a lot, like cashew butter, almond butter, those kind of things. There is a line of ice cream that's coconut milk. So the sugars are already pretty low. I think a quarter cup, exactly a lot of ice cream, is like 13 grams of sugar on the vanilla. So that keeps it below that 15 level. But what I do is I take a quarter cup of the ice cream and I blend it with a quarter cup of a nut butter. And now I have a half of a cup to eat, and I'm still under the 15 grams of sugar, and it is really, really good.
Wow.
That does sound good.
So what is this ice cream?
It's a coconut. I think it's,
I think it's So Delicious or So Delicious.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So Delicious.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice.
So Delicious, and the vanilla is really low in sugar already. And like I say, a quarter cup would be a good serving. You'd stay under the 15 grams. But then I throw in a quarter cup of nut butter, and it's a big dessert. And it's really satisfying, and it's kind of amazing. I'm thinking, like, I should probably market my own you know, nut butter coconut ice cream.
You know, and that's what's so cool about it, Kevin, is that I think what people will find when they start doing this, and Jessica, just like Bonnie found, you go searching for things, and you, that excitement from learning, and then you're going to try this, and you kind of embrace it, and, you know, you might find a whole different enjoyment to your eating than ever before.
And that's kind of what well, so far it's going pretty good. You know, we found when we went shopping, we found a Pop-Tart. We found a package of Pop-Tarts in the cabinet. And it was like, oh my goodness, and it went straight in the trash. So there wasn't even that, you know, there wasn't even that temptation of, okay, maybe we should hold on to this. No, it just went straight in the trash, so it's gone. It's out of the truck.
Good.
One of the things, though, that I have a question about is, what is this awful? I mean, that I'm supposed to be feeling, I mean, because this morning I woke up and now I all of a sudden feel like an 80-year-old person. My joints are swollen. I feel like I have, like, arthritis like you would not believe. But I didn't feel that before this morning.
Yeah, that is, the body is actually starting to release all the toxins. What's happening is your gut was so loaded with toxins, but your body gets used to it. And when you start to get, when you stop consuming them, which is what happens now, you're not consuming those toxic proteins, your gut is going to actually start releasing them. Your gut flora will get better and healthier, but it's releasing all those toxins into your body. And they attack your joints. It's what causes the headaches. It's going to make you tired and achy. And that's the warning of, you know, anywhere from, Brittany says she's on her fourth or fifth day and she's already starting to feel a little better. It was almost 14 days for me. You know, after the first four or five, it started to ease up. But after 10, I could really start to feel better. And then after 14, that stuff was just gone completely.
Well, and then one of the things that we found that was really difficult was trying to find the supplements that are, like, recommended in Grain Brain that did not have wheat or soy or whatever in them. That was really hard for us, too.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, since you mentioned the soy, again, soy doesn't really have any toxins the way wheat and grains do. Soy is actually a good food. The problem is that 90% of the soy crop in the United States is genetically modified. But if you can get organic soy, organic and non-GMO, that's not a bad food. It's just that it's really hard to find, so it's probably easier to just avoid soy.
So it will get better.
Oh, yeah.
It will get better. And the good news is when it gets better, it gets really, really better. I'll tell you another pattern, and I'm like 4 months out, and I'm still noticing changes. Some of them are a little weird. I'll tell you one of the weird ones. My nails are really healthy and strong and smooth, but they grow really, really slow now. And I keep meaning to go look that up, because it seems bizarre. You would almost think that would be a bad thing, that your nails are growing slower, but they do. They grow a lot slower. They're just really strong now. I thought that one was weird. The other one that I'm starting to notice, I can remember reading somewhere when I did all my sleep research, was that our natural sleep cycle before civilization was really to sleep twice a day. We would sleep at night, get up early in the morning, hunt and gather, and sometime in the afternoon, and there are still cultures that really, you know, do this, they would take a two-hour nap in the afternoon. And then you're back up again, you know, doing things at night. And I thought that, you know, I just couldn't do it. They said it was healthy, it's more natural. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go to sleep in the middle of the afternoon. And if I did, I woke up feeling worse. But now I find that I'm getting into that pattern. I wake up every morning at about 4 a.m. I get up and I do my reading and my research, and then I work out and it's before anybody's bothering me and the phones aren't ringing. And then about 4 or so in the afternoon, I lay down for about an hour and a half nap, and it feels amazing. And it just started about 2 weeks ago, and I'm really enjoying this.
Well, since you brought Chris actually had a question about sleep, because he has found since we've started this, he's having like a lot more vivid dreams now. Is that normal?
It is. It is, and it's healthy. It's a sign of better brain activity.
Thanks, Jessica. And you know what, Kevin, you were talking, because we all know what that challenge you were having with sleep before. So I think it's really cool to hear of just another benefit, because that's just that whole person thing.
It's hard to say it's the biggest benefit, because the energy and, you know, feeling good, but the sleep for me, because it was such a problem, it is amazing to me now. And the other night, you know, I was going to do the nap at 4 o'clock, and things just kept happening, and, you know, the phone would ring, or I'd go do something, and before I knew it, it was like 6:30, and I just really wanted to take my nap, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to take the nap, and then I'm going to be up till 1 or 2 in the morning. Should I do this? Going to screw up my sleep cycle. But I did it. I took the nap, woke up at like 8, and looked at Lisa, and I thought, you know what, I'm probably going to get a lot of reading done tonight. And we went to bed at 10, and I don't even remember laying down. I had no trouble falling right back to sleep and slept till 4 in the morning like I have been most mornings.
You know, I love that, Kevin, because we just hear so many problems with drivers with sleep, and we just know what effect that has with lack of sleep, you know, what effect that has all around on your body and just the overall quality. So I just think it's so cool that that is, and I think when you go into it, you don't expect that to be one of the benefits, but again, I think it's just another reason for people to give this a shot and see if this works for them. If it's something they can stick with and do. So we're gonna have some. I see Matt popped on here. So, hey Matt, how are you?
Doing good.
Good.
I just wanted to give an update on my results with it. I actually have been kind of on and off dieting since last fall, and then I started the grain-free diet after talking to Kevin at Louisville.
Uh-huh.
So it's only been, I've been grain-free for about a month and a half now, I guess.
Okay.
Nice. But luckily for me, I had been cutting out enough things just every week, taking something out of my diet, that by the time I went grain-free, I didn't really have any symptoms. Little bit a couple of days, but, I mean, I really never got headaches. Nothing. But I don't know that I ever ate a lot of grain. I mean, rice was probably the biggest one. I've never ate a lot of breads or anything like that, so that was easy. Like I say, I'd been cutting out, you know, eating a lot of vegetables with the fermenting stuff, and, you know, I cut out the ranch dressing and dips and all that before I tried the grain-free, so luckily for me, it went real easy.
That's great. Hey, Matt, what did you notice at CMC? Because you've been to a lot of different CMCs. How did you feel about just the energy around all of that?
Well, I noticed this the Saturday or Sunday before the CMC, just with the check-ins in the parking lot. And I would say close to 50% of my conversations out in the parking lot checking people in was about food and dieting.
That's crazy.
That's wild. Wow.
And we're supposed to be there talking about trucks.
Right.
So... yeah,
people are interested.
Yeah, I mean, I know there are some people that could care less to ever hear us talk about it again, but, and that's fine. I mean, that's their choice, but it definitely is a very hot topic for people that are interested in it.
Yeah. So what would you say to somebody that's looking at this and maybe just getting started?
Well, for everybody that is doing the symptoms, it is well worth, you know, a week or 10 days, however long it takes you to get through that cycle. And like Kevin was just talking about with the toxins getting released in your body, I know somebody that goes in for regular blood samples and all that. They aren't necessarily 100% grain-free, but they are taking I just drew a blank on the name right now. The pill we get at Whole Foods, probiotics.
Probiotics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And one of their blood samples after starting it showed very high enzymes in like the bladder, liver. And now a month afterwards, that's gone. So it was, you know, like Kevin was explaining, your body releasing a lot of the negative enzymes in your body and toxins, and that's all got to process through, you know, or it doesn't happen overnight. It takes, you know, some of that stuff takes several weeks.
Yeah, but you know what? We all know how fast time goes by, so it's much better to go on a path that's forward focused, you know, and know that that it's all for the better. One more quick question, and both you guys, did you guys like drink? Did you focus on drinking more water while you're detoxing? Did you do that at all?
Yeah, I've always drank a pretty fair amount of water, and that's one other thing. I've completely cut out sodas months ago, and I was drinking sugar-free flavorings and water that had aspartame and all kinds of other stuff in it when I finally got rid of that. And, you know, pretty much the only thing I drank anymore is water.
Okay.
I never lost any weight the week of the CMC because I drank more beer than I normally do, but... but the good news is since last fall, about the 1st of October when I started some different things, I'm down 40 pounds now officially.
That's
outstanding. You look great. You look great. You just look more energetic too, Matt. You really, really do. I mean, it's not just a weight thing. You just look vibrant. So, yeah.
One of the biggest things for drivers, opinion and what I've noticed, is that midday grogginess, you know, getting tired, wanting to take a nap, a lot of that has gone away for me. I mean, it still happens once in a great while, but, I mean, it used to be every other hour thing where you just sitting in the seat, you know, you get wore out, you're tired. A lot of that's gone away.
Yeah, you know, that kind of reminds me that now, once you get through the worst of it, when you're hungry, there's a reason. Your body needs food. And when you're sleepy, there's a reason. Your body wants to sleep. And prior to that, it wasn't that clear cut. You'd get, you know, drowsy, but you weren't really tired enough to sleep. You'd get hungry and weird craving. Now, it's like your body works the way it's supposed to. If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm tired, I sleep. And it feels good.
Yeah,
that's
and that's,
cool.
You know, before, you know, laying down to take a 20-minute or half hour, 45-minute nap, it was always tough to get back up. But if I do lay down for 45 minutes now, it's no big deal. Just get up and go again.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of going, we've got to hit the road. Oregon is calling.
Okay.
And I want to get in 5 or 6 hours tonight. So, Kim, as always, thanks for having
me.
Always enjoy it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on, Kevin. And you guys have safe travels, and I know we'll chat about this more. So, you guys, I just thank you so much for coming on today. This, you know, and this might just be the start of it. You know, we touched on this before with Kevin, and, again, because of the CMC, it was just so apparent. It was so exciting to see so many people that were on board with this, with being healthy and lifting each other up. And I just think it's so exciting. So So looking ahead, you know, this is a change. If you were looking to do something like this, or it's just planting a seed, and it's kind of funny to say seed, we're talking grain free, but hey, I might want to look at this some more. So the two books are Grain Free and the other one's Wheat Belly. Brittany was talking about there's a grain free cookbook. I also noticed on Amazon there's a summary of the grain free as well. That's like $2.99 on Kindle. You know, start there. And just, again, when you're looking at your health or that, know it's individual. Do not compare yourself to other people. If you go down this path and it doesn't work for you, that's okay. You tried it and go there. But that is what this is all about, is finding what works for you. It's not a diet with a deadline on it. This is just the way you're going to move forward and explore different things. Read, go to Pinterest and look up things on this. Ask questions of other people. So, you know, it's fearful sometimes when you look at this. I was always that way because I've been up and down all my life, and I'd be like, you know, be fearful of failing. But you know what? Fail forward if you have to, and try this, and shift if you need to. But know that there's others going the same path with you. So come back next week if you have questions. Over this weekend, I challenge you to go read a little bit about this. It's just so apparent. We've heard Kevin talk about it. I got to see him a month or so ago, and then to come to the CMC, to see Matt, and to see, you know, other people that are doing this, and just the excitement of being healthy together. So how cool is that? So embrace this. Let go of any fear that you have, okay? Get excited for what's ahead of you. It's all good. It's all good. You're not alone. It's not about what we're giving up. It's about what we're all gaining, okay? And there's nothing like a good quality of life, some energy, and just I'm loving it all. So thank you so much for being here today. Come back next week, and let's chat some more. You matter to us, and your health matters to us. We want to touch next week on exercise, stuff that you can do on the road. There was a gentleman that was at the CMC. I'm going to reach out to him, Jeff, who is actually doing a bodybuilding contest in Canada next week, and it was cool. He actually, think about that challenge, he actually brought his food with him to the CMC, and I hope he'll be on with us a lot anymore, just to share different things. He calls his truck his gym, and there's things that you can do, and I'm going to reach out and see if he can join us next week, actually before his competition, and share a little bit more about that. So it's just the next step. Know that as you go down this path, you're going to get a little further. I remember when I first started on my solid journey of health, there were things I could focus on. And then, like I said, when I embraced that, then I went a little further and started walking and doing stuff. So just be excited for what's ahead of you. So come back next week. So until then, keep learning. Keep connected with like-minded people out there and keep moving. Be committed to you. Be a leader out there on the road and at home in this health journey. It truly, truly does carry on at home with all your loved ones, okay? Be healthy. Be fit, do the hard work, and master this journey to health. You guys have a great weekend, and I look forward to talking with you next. Bye for now.